as often happens when I'm trying to find just the right scriptural text to go along with whatever the teachings are, I can never find anything. Nothing is speaking to me. So as always happens, I end up pulling down a book of poetry, and that always speaks to me. So tonight I pulled down a book that I haven't opened in ages. It's a book of poems by a woman named Dorothy Waters. Totally unknown poet, I think, but lovely. And I think I actually read this in class once before, but this is exactly what my understanding of Mahamrityunjaya Mantra is about. So this poem is called Don't Make Lists. Is that familiar? Have I read this? Yeah. Yeah. Of course, it would figure that the only poem in the book that spoke to me was the one I read probably a year ago. Yeah. Don't make lists. Every day, a new flower rises from your body's fresh soil. Every day, a new flower rises from your body's fresh soil. Don't go around looking for fallen petals in a fairy tale when you've got the golden plant right here now, shooting forth in light from your eyes, your awakening crown. Don't go looking around for fallen petals in a fairy tale when you've got the golden plant, shoot down, right here now, shooting forth in light from your eyes, your awakening crown. Don't make lists or explore ancient accounts. Forget everything you know and open. Don't make lists or explore ancient accounts. Forget everything you know and open. So if you think about
Can you read the last one?
Sure. Yeah. I'm going to read it several more times, but yes. Don't make lists or explore ancient accounts. Forget everything you know and open. So Mahamrityunjaya Mantra, it is. Maha is the great. Mrityun is death. Jaya is victory over death. So this is the great victory over death mantra. Okay? Triambakam is the three-eyed one, three-eyed Shiva, otherwise, you know, the third eye, basically. And in the mythology of Shiva, the third eye is considered, let's just say it's really dangerous when that third eye opens because it's pure fire and it what is it when a fire just burns everything? Incinerates the entire creation, which then has to rebirth itself again. Personally, I think that's a little melodramatic. And maybe we don't want to be so literal, and maybe we want to think of when the third eye opens, the luminosity of insight is so profound that it annihilates all the stories that we carry that keep us in a state of separation from what we have been referring to in this class as love or the self or our own inner being or whatever name we want to give to the experience of the imminent sublime. And I think for us now at this time in this place, it's much more relevant to think about when the opening of the third eye. It's the opening of true insight. It's the opening of, you know, just a discrimination that cuts through all the stuff, that the obstacles, I mean, even to call it story is so, it cuts through everything that creates division between us and what we are. So if you think about this Mahamrityunjaya from this perspective, it's like, this is a mantra, you know, and the literal translation, it's kind of fun. I have it somewhere. Oh, wait, this is a very nice translation. I like this very much. Shudan. Shelter me, O three-eyed Lord Shiva. Bless me with health and immortality. Okay, whatever. And sever me from the clutches of death, even as a cucumber is cut from its creeper. We all know this. Everybody's like, what is with the cucumber in this mantra? And I think this is a great time of year to have a mantra with cucumbers in it. You know, cucumbers are going crazy right now.
I love the cucumber.
Sorry?
I love the cucumber in this mantra. It's my favorite word.
I we have had in the past in this class, we have had discussions about what the hell does it mean and why a cucumber? But if you think of yourself as a cucumber being severed from the vine of story, you know, it's like the identity as cucumber or whatever, being severed from the identification, it's a mantra of liberation. It's a mantra of awakening the insight intelligence that illuminates our understanding so we realize who and what we truly are. That's what this mantra is. It's nothing else. That's what it is. You all know the story, maybe you don't all know, but most of you know the story of Markandeya, who, again, in the Puranas, the story goes, or I think it's, I mean, he's actually got a Purana, so maybe it's somewhere else, but anyway, Markandeya is a young boy, he's born, his parents are childless, they're great devotees of Lord Shiva, they do a gazillion whatever, puja, penance, mantras, whatever, and Lord Shiva appears and offers them a boon, what do you want, and they want a child. He says, well, what do you want? I'll give you like a dumb son who lives a really long life, or I'll give you a really virtuous son who will only live 16 years. So they, of course, choose the virtuous son. And their son, Markandeya, is born, and he is a lovely, wonderful, luminous being. And they never tell him what his destiny will be. And then on his 16th birthday, they go to the temple to just sort of please pray to Shiva and hope he'll do something. And Markandeya, who's just in this very pure state, it's his birthday, he does his whole, oh, it's so interesting. The practice that he's given throughout his life is Gayatri Mantra. That's the mantra that he chants. And so he's been chanting Gayatri Mantra forever and ever and ever, and now it's his birthday, and he does his Gayatri, probably 108 repetitions of Gayatri Mantra, and then he begins doing his Shiva Puja. And while he's doing his Shiva Puja, Lord Yama, Lord of Death, comes to take him away. And he's very immersed in his puja, but he begins to feel the life force, the prana, just seeping out of his body. And so he realizes, oh my God, I'm dying. He doesn't probably realize it quite like that, but he realizes death is coming. And he begins chanting the what we call the Triambakam or Mahamrityunjaya, which again in this lovely translation, shelter me, O three-eyed Lord Shiva, bless me with health and immortality and sever me from the clutches of death, even as a cucumber is cut from this creeper. And so in that moment, Shiva appears. There's many different versions of the story. One of the fun versions is Shiva appears with a noose, hey, Bapali, welcome, and he throws the noose. No, wait a minute. Or is it Yama who throws the noose? Anyway, somehow or other, Shiva and Yama fight with each other, and of course Shiva wins, because Shiva always wins. And he basically bestows immortality on Markandeya. So Markandeya, since he can only live to be 16, he will forever be 15 and 364, 365. So he's right like an hour before he would die. And so they say Markandeya is this eternal being who is, nobody knows where he is, somewhere in the Himalayas wandering around. Or not. If you take the story and you drop down below the literal, it's a lovely story. But you know, if you drop down, you know, what is it really saying? What is it really about? You know, and why would anybody even want immortality? I mean, honestly, life is hard. And not that I wish death on any of us, but, you know, especially for a so-called enlightened being, it would sort of be a relief to just pop out of the body and just be in the formless. So what is it really about? You know, what do we really mean when we talk about immortality? And it's a great thing for everyone to contemplate. And I'll tell you my understanding, which I'm sure is what you all understand also or would come to. It's, again, immortality is dropping the story of the small self, right? Immortality is dropping the fear of death. Immortality is that state of living in the present moment so that we simply are. And there's not that fear of the future or attachment to the past, we're no longer held by future lists or past lists. The lists have evaporated, and we simply are. How does Dorothy Waters say it? She said it very nicely. Yes, don't make lists or explore ancient accounts. The past, right? Don't make lists for the future or explore ancient accounts, which is the past. Forget everything you know and open. I believe that from where we sit, this is immortality. What else? It's because this is, why else do we do practices? You know, why else do we come here? Why else do we contemplate the self? We want to cut away the ties that bind us, like those cucumbers being severed, so that we can rest in that which we are. So let me read the poem again. Don't make lists. Every day a new flower rises from your body's fresh soil. That's immortality, right? Every day a new flower rises from your body's fresh soil. Don't go around looking for fallen petals in a fairy tale, right? That's what she's talking about. We talk about it all the time. Don't get lost in the story. Don't go around looking for fallen petals in a fairy tale when you've got the golden plant right here now. That's, you know, we could say that's the Shiva Lingam, right? That's the pillar of light inside of us. Don't go around looking for fallen petals in a fairy tale when you've got the golden plant right here now shooting forth in light from your eyes, your awakening crown. And you know, the light from the eyes, it's really mostly coming out of that third eye. And that light from the third eye is what really raises us into the experience of the crown chakra. Don't make lists or explore ancient accounts. Forget everything you know and open. And at the end of the day, that's the practice. It's just about opening. It's not about anything else. We don't have to know anything. We don't have to believe anything. We don't have to do anything. We just have to keep opening. Keep opening. That's the practice. That is the process. And so it goes. So I want you to close your eyes and let yourself really connect with your breath. And if you like the imagery of this poem, it's pretty nice imagery, or the Shiva Lingam, you know, just visualize this column of light, the central channel inside of you, all the way from the first chakra right up to the crown. Just you know, it's just a nice visualization. But what I want you to focus on, especially, is as you sense the central channel, or if you want to be a bit more dramatic, the column of light inside of you, and feel it almost like the trunk of a tree coming up from the first chakra. Roots are actually down in the depth of the earth, and it's moving inside of you up to the crown. But pause at your two physical eyes. Just kind of sense your two eyes. Really, really feel where they are. Kind of bring your awareness to your right eye. And slip it back over to your left eye. And move your sensing back and forth between the right eye and the left eye. And then bring the awareness to where you experience, where you sense the third eye. Stay with yourself and stay with this contemplation of sensing the two physical eyes and also sensing the third eye. And really feel that third eye portal right between the two physical eyes. You may feel it right in the middle. You may feel it higher up. Just feel it where you feel it. Now, think of the third eye as the ground or the anchor of your discernment. Think of the third eye as the if there was a seesaw, you know, it's right there in the center, holding everything in perfect balance. And then feel the movement of light, insight, luminosity, the luminosity that illuminates our seeing. Just kind of imagine that luminosity spilling out of the third eye and flowing over to your right eye and sort of illuminating the seeing of the right eye. And then come back to the middle point, the third eye point. And again, imagine it spilling its light over to the left eye and illuminating the seeing of the left eye. So that you're working with the luminosity of insight intelligence, which comes from this so-called third eye, this portal into profound insight intelligence. And you are visualizing that light flooding into the right eye and the left eye, so that your seeing is illuminated. Now, Charanbakam means the three-eyed one. In the Trayana is three. And we're working now with these three eyes, physical eyes, and the so-called third eye, Ajna Chakra. And they're perfectly equidistant. You may feel them as a straight line, you may feel them as a triangle. Now, without getting too technical musically, I've switched the melody around a bit so that the tones are equidistant from each other. So I want you to think of this. Sing this song. Sing this tune. That's your third eye. Always going to come back to this. And here's your left eye. This at all while you're chanting, but if every now and then, maybe when we hit this tone, you just have a moment of just thinking, oh my God, that's that third eye tone, that will be very good. Okay. Now I'll just say a few more things about immortality and chanting. Another way we get to experience immortality is by totally merging into the experience of singing, chanting. Somebody sent me a study that she saw somewhere about singing in the brain. Looks like they're finally starting to do the same studies about singing in the brain that they've been doing about meditation in the brain. And you can imagine what they're discovering. Nothing we don't all know in space. So here's how this new melody goes. Yajamahe sugandhim pushti vardhanam Upurvadukamiva vandhanam Mrityor mukshiyamam Mrityat. Let's try another few times. Trayambakam yajamahe sugandhim pushti vardhanam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam fact. Prayam. See, there's your third eye. Prayam bakam yajamahe sugandhim pushti vardhanam purvadukamiva bandhanam rajyur mukshiyamam. Right, no big surprise that ma comes on that middle tone, right? That's the center. That's the ground. That's the third eye that is illuminating all of our being. That is illuminating all of what we might call our creation and what is quite capable of annihilating that which does not serve us, which would be our identification with limitation.